Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian Maines, for that introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We have been going through an article in the July issue of the Ensign magazine, July 2012, titled Understanding Our Covenants with God, an Overview of Our Most Important Promises. Covenant making and covenant keeping is a very important aspect of the Mormon faith, absolutely essential if a Mormon hopes to receive the best his religion has for him or her, and of course the best would be exaltation in the celestial kingdom. There are several of these covenants that Mormons must make if they hope to achieve exaltation, and today we're going to be looking at the covenant pertaining to sealing.
It says the temple ordinance, referred to as temple marriage or being sealed, creates an eternal relationship between husband and wife that can last beyond death if the spouses are faithful. Parent and child relationships can also be perpetuated beyond mortality, linking generations together in eternal family relationships.
Now, that's kind of a strange statement there, because when you and I were at the St. George Temple, we took the time to watch a lot of the films that they offer at the Visitor Center regarding what Mormons believe on families being together forever. And it always gives you the impression that this connection is mainly between a grandfather, the parent, and the children. Mm-hmm. It's like three generations, and that's about it. Of course, in Christianity, we look at it as all believers, all forgiven humans are part of the family of God, and all of us will be together in the presence of God as one big family of God. But this kind of gives the impression that they somewhat believe that as well. But they would say, yeah, but you're saying you have to believe in Jesus and such like that in order to be there. Well, Mormonism isn't really all that different, because it says here, if the spouses are faithful, and then it goes on, when an individual enters into the covenant of marriage in the temple, he or she makes covenants with both God and with his or her spouse. Spouses promise faithfulness to each other and to God. So there are conditions for them as well. And if they don't meet them, they won't be together. But I have to kind of chuckle on this, Eric, because it talks about faithfulness to spouses. And just a few pages after this, on page 40, there's an article, Joseph and Emma, Moments in Their Lives. The cover says, Tender Moments in the Lives of Joseph and Emma Smith. If anybody was not faithful to his spouse, it was Joseph Smith. He was secretly marrying other women. His wife, Emma, couldn't stand polygamy, hated polygamy, and yet here he is doing this behind her back, so he's hardly keeping the covenant of faithfulness with his wife, Emma, but it's Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith is always given a pass. Any other person in the Mormon church did that, they would certainly be held accountable. But Joseph Smith seems to get away with it. What's the last paragraph there, as in other ordinances?
Yeah, and I think we need to read that paragraph based on what you were told in St. George by the missionary, that because her son was born in the covenant, then he therefore would somehow make it up there. And this is what this says. Let me read this paragraph, and we should talk about that, because she has this idea that somehow he's going to make it, even though he's no longer following Mormonism. As it says, as in other ordinances, individual faithfulness to our covenants is required for the earthly ordinance to be sealed or made valid in heaven by the Holy Spirit of promise. Individuals who keep their covenants, even when their spouse does not, do not forfeit the blessings promised in the sealing. This is individual. You have to do it on your own. When they talk about forever families are together forever, that means everybody has to keep their end of the bargain.
Right. They all have to be keeping celestial law.
It's not something that just because you did it, then automatically your children get in or your parents get in. Everybody's going to have to keep their end.
Yesterday, I was downtown at Temple Square taking a friend around from Uganda. And I noticed that there was a group of people all wearing the same color t-shirt. And on there it had their last name, had a picture of the temple, and underneath it said a forever family. And it sounds nice. It sounds like a lovely promise if you get along with your family. But the point is if, as you say, all those family members are not living up to the covenants that they've made as Mormons, then there is no forever family, at least not a complete unit. Because whenever you see these little stick figures in the back of Mormon vans, families are forever, and it shows a mom and a dad and little kids, I just can't help but imagining how many of those people in that family probably should have an X over them because they're not living up to the covenants. And this was a question that I asked a lady at the opening of the Billings Temple in Billings, Montana, several years ago. Randy Sweet was with me at that time, and we went up to these ladies that were supposed to answer questions that you weren't allowed to ask while on the tour. And so I told this one lady how I was given the impression by the films that Mormons hope to be with their families, but it kept saying by obedience. It kept emphasizing obedience. And they acknowledged that. And I said, every family, it seems, has at least one black sheep in the family. The black sheep that kind of stands out from the rest and just doesn't get it. And many of them don't believe. They want nothing to do with trying to live righteously, as understood in Mormonism. They don't want to believe in Joseph Smith or anything like that. But basically, what I was trying to get across to her, I didn't go into that much detail. Basically, I was saying, well, what do you do in a case like that? If that's the requirement is obedience, and you have a family member that's not being obedient, you're really not going to be a family, quote unquote, an intact unit throughout eternity. And she said the strangest thing. She said something to the effect, she says, well, in a case like that, we just have to pray. I wonder if she was missing my point, because after we're all dead, it's all over. This person had an opportunity and wasted it. And according to many teachings from Mormon leaders, once they've wasted that opportunity, the chances of being together with the family in the celestial kingdom are gone forever. So praying doesn't really do any good about it. It's too late. Mm-hmm. But as you mentioned, this elderly lady that we met down in St. George, very nice lady, she had a similar situation when we were talking to her about that. And she said she had a son that was not a believer in Mormonism any longer. Apparently, as you say, he was born in the covenant. And however, something happened or in his life, whatever reason, I have no idea. It doesn't really matter. But the fact is that this was a son, she admitted, that was not living right and was not believing in Mormonism, I understand. And she somehow thought that something was going to happen, even mm-hmm. if he died in that condition, that would somehow unite her son with her and her family throughout eternity. She couldn't provide any verse to support that. She couldn't provide any statement from a Mormon leader that supported it, but she was certainly hoping, I think in vain, that somehow her son was going to come around. But how could that possibly be? Because if he was in fact a Mormon and he dies unrepentant, he has procrastinated his repentance. And according to Alma 34, Chapter 34, the devil has sealed him his. That's the final state of the wicked. How can that bring comfort to a Mormon family?
So it's not based on what you want, it's based on reality. And if Mormonism is true, regardless of how much you want to have your son with you, it's not going to happen if your religion doesn't teach that. And this is something else that we saw when we were We just looked at some of the videos they had there. They had all videos available to us, and so we were picking some videos, and they were showing us whatever we wanted.
They were very nice to us.
We sat and watched these videos, and it was amazing to me. It seemed like over and over again, when they were talking about families, there were grandparents always in the picture.
And they always die.
Yeah, somehow they die.
That's sad.
And then you got the parents, and you got, you know, right. you got the kids, and you get this relationship there. But if families are together forever, then wouldn't that include the great-great-grandparents and on
back? It would be like a Mormon family reunion on steroids.
But you've never even met these people. You're going to be with strangers? Where does it say that it ends at the grandparent?
I know. Well, this gives the impression that it doesn't. It says linking generations together in eternal family relationships, and it doesn't give the number of generations. you would think that it would go on and on and on. Because technically, don't even Mormons believe we all kind of can trace ourselves back to Adam and Eve? I mean, if that's where it began, then, gee, we should all be together. Everybody that you can possibly imagine should all be there if they qualify.
Yeah.
If they qualify. And, of course, a Mormon would be the first to admit that not everybody is going to qualify. Probably not so ready to admit they don't qualify, even though it seems that that is the case by this article that we've read here, because right. as we've been saying over and over again, and if you're a Mormon out there and you want to prove us wrong and you're the first one that is really keeping all your covenants, keeping all the commandments and have repented all your sins, by all means, I'd love to hear from you. But this article closes. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, it says here, it says, the new and everlasting covenant is the sum total of all gospel covenants and obligations we've made, and the resulting blessings include all that the Father has, including eternal life. As we strive to understand and keep our covenants, we should remember that keeping our covenants is not merely a list of things to do, but a commitment to become like the Savior.
Well, even though it says it's not merely a list of things to do, it most certainly is a list of things to do. There are boxes that need to be checked off if yep. a Mormon hopes that they've done enough to receive that exaltation that they seek. So, you know, that's not really making it too terribly insignificant. But, okay, yeah, if you do all that, they have the assumption that they are going to become like the Savior. And, of course, Mormons are trying to emulate the actions of Jesus. That's commendable. I'm not downplaying that. That's commendable that they want to be like that, but emulating Jesus does not necessarily make one a Christian.
All week long, we've been stressing the importance of keeping the covenants in order to be able to get eternal life. If a Mormon is out there listening, he needs to understand if he's a covenant breaker, if he has fallen short, he's not ready to receive the celestial kingdom.
Well, the final judgment is not just an evaluation of a sum total. I mean, you know, you read it here. This is Dallin Oaks. It's not a sum total of good and evil acts, what we have done. It is an acknowledgement of the final effect on our acts and thoughts, what we have become. And that is the big question. What have we become? Is it really being a Christian? Have we put our total trust in Jesus, or do we have part trust in our own efforts?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.